2 years ago, I put together a talk for some fun about unusual collateral that I had seen in real estate transactions. Now, last 20 years or so, I have been pretty much exclusively a developer's lawyer, and I'm proud of that. But before that, I did a mixed practice, and it was not uncommon on Friday afternoon at 4:30 to get a call from a loan officer saying, you know that deal we've got to close on Monday? He says, I want to make sure I have that guy's attention. So I know we're going to get a deed of trust on the property, but I want his Rolex, his boat, his helicopter, his car's collection, or whatever it might be. And that was 2 years ago, of kind of a you won't believe what I've seen, but. And I still had some loose ends I thought I wanted to tie up, but as I got into it, the loose ends are more of the, you know, there's been some changes in the way things are done, and maybe we need to rethink some older things that may have some new connotations to it. So these are a collection of things that I just wanted to look at myself and maybe bring to you and maybe start some thoughts that would be productive for you in your practices. I want to talk about mobile building units, modular building units. We need to be careful, and I need to straighten that up immediately, that there is a dramatic difference between modular units in construction and mobile homes or manufactured homes, and we'll talk about that and how what that means in the development and lending context. I want to talk about developments in tenant remedies in leases, which have kind of been under the radar. Did you cover Romos this morning? Okay, and we'll talk about a little bit about the ramifications of the Romos case, but from a lender's standpoint. I have had a couple of transactions in the last 2 years representing people who built a green or highly security-sensitive buildings downtown Austin, and the technology that goes into that was something that caught my attention and needs a little bit of attention, I think. And then I've done a couple of partnership loans that were not mezz loans. I've never done a mezz loan, so I'm not going to talk about mezz loans, but loans where partnership interests were taken as collateral, and I thought there was a little bit of something to talk about there. Now, I didn't know until this morning that Dale Butler, who I did not see speak this morning, was also going to have in his paper and his presentation, I presume, section about the phenomena of using modular structures in construction. I mean, it's going on and it's increasing in frequency. There was one announced in the last 3 or 4 weeks of a hotel on South Congress that's going to be modular. There's some other modular things happening, modular subdivisions, modular dormitories in San Antonio, modular hospital rooms, modular this and that. And it makes sense. And I'm sorry I didn't hear Dale's talk, but I flipped through his paper. And I think he's right. It makes sense because it shortens the time period of construction, which shortens the time that the meter is running on your construction loan. And it also, because you can manufacture the things off-site, has some economic advantages in cost-wise. So clients may well be using that more often, and lenders are going to have to respond to it. When I talked 2 years ago, I talked about the mansion at the Hunton lease. Trying to give a Texas pronunciation to that. The mansion being a double wide. And the question was, how do you take a lien on the double wide? And I talked about Chapter 1201 of the Occupations Code, which deals with manufactured homes or manufactured or mobile homes, which is a different animal than the modular homes. Manufactured or mobile homes under Chapter 1201 are governed by the Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, and they're built to standards promulgated by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, by HUD, on a nationwide standard of construction. Chapter 1202 is a different animal. Chapter 1202 deals with modulars, and modulars are dealt with and governed by the Texas Commission of Licensing and Regulation, different organization. and they're built to different standards. They're built to either international code standards or another set of standards, which are standards for what I call site-built or stick-built construction, not the standards of the HUD construction. And the HUD construction requires a permanent chassis under the thing that is built to either put wheels on or not and move it around. The modulars are not built on a chassis. They're built to enough structure under them to be portable to go to the site where they're installed permanently. But after that, they're not supposed to move. So we have 1201 and we have 1202. Now, how different are those? What is the distinction other than the regular? Oh, by the way, there's supposed to be a different sticker. There's two different stickers. The Department of Housing and Community Affairs has a sticker that they put on the mobile homes or the manufactured housing that they govern. And the other agency, the Commission on Licensing and Regulation, has a sticker that goes on the modulars that certifies it meets the stick-built criterion. Are they different? Well, they might not look different on first glance, particularly if the modulars are used as a method of putting together an affordable subdivision. And they're built on foundations, but they're just look like houses on lots, or look like a housing structure of some kind on lots.